Hi, this is Rob Reno with Visionary Parenting. The message you're about to listen to is the third in a four-part series called Father and Son Together. And you can get more parenting resources at visionaryparenting.com.
I want to start off with a camping story for you. This was a letter that was sent home from a young man to his parents in the middle of a camping trip that he went on with his group. Dear Dad, our scoutmaster told us to write our parents in case you saw the flood on TV and worried. We are okay. Only one of our tents and two sleeping bags got washed away. Luckily, none of us got drowned because we were up on the mountain looking for Chad when it happened. Oh yes, please call Chad's mother and tell her he is okay. He can't write because of the cast. We never would have found him in the dark if it hadn't been for the lightning. Scoutmaster Webb got mad at Chad for going on a hike alone without telling anyone. Chad said that he did tell him, but it was during the fire, so he probably didn't hear him. Did you know that if you put gas on a fire, the gas can will blow up? Well, the wet woods still wouldn't burn, but one of our tents did. Also, some of our clothes. John's going to look weird until his hair grows back. We'll be home Saturday if Scoutmaster Webb gets the car fixed. It wasn't his fault about the wreck. The brakes worked okay when we left, and Scoutmaster Webb said that with a car that old, you have to expect something to break down, and that's probably why he can't get insurance on it. We think it's a neat car. He doesn't care if we get it dirty, and if it's hot, sometimes he lets us ride on the tailgate. It gets pretty hot with 10 people in the car, and he lets us take turns riding in the trailer until the highway patrolman stopped us and talked to us. But don't worry, he's a good driver. In fact, he's teaching Terry how to drive. But he only lets him drive on the mountain roads where there isn't any traffic. All we ever see up there are logging trucks. This morning, all the guys were diving off the rocks and swimming in the lake. Scoutmaster Webb wouldn't let me, because I can't swim, as you know, and Chad was afraid that he'd sink because of the cast, so he let us take the canoe across the lake. Also, Wade and I threw up. Scoutmaster Webb said it was probably just food poisoning from the leftover chicken. He said they got sick that way with the food they had in prison. I have to go now. We're going into town to mail our letters and buy bullets. Don't worry about anything. We're fine. Love, Jim. Hopefully we're not sending any letters home like that to mom or the sisters back at home. All right. I hope that you have your sheet from the very first night, from last night, with our million-dollar question for the retreat. Why is your relationship with your son, why is your relationship with your father so important? And tonight we're going to answer that question, and I want to ask for your help. First question, I'm going to ask you a series of three questions that's going to lead us to the answer. The first question is this: what does God want in the world? In other words, God created the world, God created the universe, God created people, God is guiding and directing his plan through human history. What does he want? Help me out. Yeah. He wants us to worship him. Good. Keep going. There's probably a lot of answers to this. Yes. He wants us to forgive others. That's right. Okay, wait. So he wants us to believe the good news of how Jesus died on the cross for our sins, right? And accept him and share it. How far are we supposed to share it? Everyone. Now, does everyone, you mean like just people in your neighborhood?
No.
Everyone in the world?
Or try.
The whole world. That's what he wants his people to do, to take the good news of Jesus Christ and his death on the cross for our sins and his resurrection from the dead. He wants us to take that to the whole world.
End of
the end of the earth. Trenton, you're absolutely right. Because he wants as many people as possible to hear that message, right? He wants as many people as possible to repent of their sins, to believe in him, and be saved. Because this world's not going to last forever. Jesus is coming back. God's going to make a new heaven and a new earth, and God is going to judge every single solitary person. And there's going to be two kinds of people on that day of judgment. There's going to be people that have put their faith and trust in Christ for the forgiveness of their sins, and people who haven't. And God wants the earth filled with people who love him, and he wants heaven filled with people who love him. Would you agree that that's what God wants? Raise your hand if you say, yeah, I think that's what God wants. Okay. Next question. How has God chosen for that purpose to be accomplished? If that's what he wants, what's his plan? How does he want that done? Help me out. Make disciples of men. So people are supposed to influence other people, right? Keep going. What else is How does God want it done? Good. Our job isn't to force people to do this, right? Christians don't go around saying, you become a Christian or else. We preach the truth. We tell them the truth about how much God loves them. They're free to choose. But keep going. What's God done? What has God instituted in society to make this happen? I heard it. He created this thing called the church. He created this thing called the faith community, the church, the gathering together of the called out ones. That's what the word church means, the called out ones who are going to work together for those kingdom purposes. But God also created something else. He created another institution, not just the church. He created the institution called the family. Matter of fact, that was the first institution that he created. God made Adam and Eve. God made husband and wife. God allowed Adam and Eve to have children. And in fact, the family is the basis or the way all of human society and human life is organized. And so what God did, he wants the whole earth filled with worship, the whole earth filled with the gospel. He wants heaven populated with as many people as possible who would put their faith and trust in him. And God created two institutions, two groups, two units that would fulfill that mission, the church and the home. Now we're getting close to the answer to our question. Who has God chosen to lead those two institutions? Christ is correct that Christ is the head of the church and the head of the home. You are right, as God is the head of everything. But who has God chosen on earth to lead the church and the home?
Everyone?
Not quite everyone. I heard it over here. Men. Men. God chose to have godly, loving, humble, strong men to lead these two institutions that he created, the church, the local church, and the church universal around the world, and the Christian home. And so, guys, now we have our answer. Why are our relationships and fathers and sons so important? I want you to write this in your outline. Because God created the church and the family to advance his kingdom. And he's called men to take the lead. Because God has created the church and the family to advance his kingdom. And he's called men to take the lead. Now I want you to say it with me, all right? Why are our relationships as fathers and sons so important? Because God created the church and the family to advance his kingdom, and he's called men to take the lead. You see, guys, there's sons, let me tell you something that your dads and I used to play with when we were kids. We used to play with dominoes, all right? Some of you kids may have busted out your dad's box of dominoes or whatever. Now, there's an actual game you can play with the numbers, but the other thing we would do is we would set them up in order. You remember this, Dad? Around the table, and you push the one over, and they all go down, and it's really cool. Your kids should get them out. They're fun. But the Bible sets up a series of dominoes. In other words, when one thing goes, the next thing goes, the next thing goes. And those five dominoes go something like this. That as the man goes, so goes the marriage. As the marriage goes, so goes the family. As the family goes, so goes the local church. And as the local church goes, so goes the nation and the Great Commission. And we need to understand biblically that those five dominoes are integrally connected. As the man goes, so goes the marriage. As the marriage goes, so goes the family. As the family goes, so goes the church. And as the church goes, so goes the Great Commission. Every one of us would probably agree that we want to have vibrant, godly, Christian, powerful churches. If we want to have godly, vibrant, Christian, powerful churches, what do we need more of? We need more godly men. We would agree that God wants our families to be loving and safe and biblically based and making a difference in our neighborhoods and in our communities. If you want to have more Christian families like that, what do we need more of? Same answer. We need more godly men. Now, I want to show this to you in the scriptures. I want to show you the very last verse of the Old Testament. If you have your Bibles, you can turn over there to Malachi, the Italian prophet. Malachi. Malachi chapter 4. This was written in 400 BC. The very last words of the Old Testament. This is how God ends that whole grand chapter of salvation history. Malachi chapter 4, beginning in verse 5. Last two verses of the Old Testament. I think last words are really important. Let's take a look at God's last words here. Malachi chapter 4. Look at what it says. It says, "See, I will send you the prophet Elijah before that great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers. Or else I will come and strike the land with a curse." The end. Happy Disney ending. Folks, I mean, that's the end of the Old Testament right there. That the day is coming when the hearts of fathers are going to turn to their children, the hearts of children are going to turn back to their fathers. And if it doesn't happen, what does God say he's going to do? Yeah, he's going to strike the land with a curse. Guys, what this passage is talking about, and there's lots of other scriptures that I could show you, but I don't have time, is that God's plan for the world, God's plan for the gospel, God's plan for the advance of his kingdom is tied directly to the relationships between fathers and their children. Because God's plan for the world is a multi-generational plan. It's a multi-generational vision. It's not just, we have a big problem in this one because a lot of times we are more American than we are Christian sometimes. Because we think American, well, it's just me. It's just me, it's just my family, and I'm going to take care of me and take care of my family. That's not a Christian way to think. A Christian way to think is multi-generational. God's got me here as a part of a multi-generational legacy. And the way I live my life right now, it's not just for my kids. It's not just for my grandkids. It's for my great-grandkids, my great-great-grandkids, and generations beyond until Jesus comes back again. That we understand that the way we're living right now is an integral part of this multi-generational vision that God has. Now, guys, 5 years ago, I got to tell you about a really dark summer of my life. If you had asked me at that time, now I've been married, 9 years, full-time pastor. If you had asked me at that time, Rob, what are your priorities in life as a Christian man? I would have told you that my first life priority is my relationship with good God. Okay, you're in a Christian thing. Guess God first, okay? Even if you're wrong, people think you're spiritual. So it's good. All right, relationship with God. Okay, my next biblical life priority is a Christian man. And you think about my situation. What's my next biblical life priority? Relationship with my wife, good. Third, Christian man, biblical life priority. Children, very good. Fourth, biblical life priority is a Christian man. Yeah, I'm going to say, you could say church or you could say others, ministry to others. So your ministry is going to be in your church, in your neighborhood, in your school, at the bank, whatever that is. Does that make sense? Okay. So not only did I say that those are my Christian man priorities, but I knew that I lived that way. And the reason why I knew I lived that way is if my senior pastor, my boss, called me on the phone and said, Rob, I've got a crisis. And my wife called me and said, Rob, I've got a crisis. Where would I go? I'd go to my wife. Because I'm a man of principle and priorities. And I wouldn't be wringing my hands. Oh, what will my boss think? Well, over the course of that summer, God brought a whole bunch of different things into my life. And one of them was a question that cut me right to the heart. And the question was this. Well, Rob, what if there's no crisis? In other words, what if it's a normal day, a normal week, a normal month? What gets the best of your heart? What gets the best of your time, your vision, your energy, your leadership, and your passion? Ask that way. Those four really nice Christian guy priorities went like this. So the very best of me was going where, guys? It was going to work. Now, for me, work was at the church, okay? So theologically speaking, I was having an affair with Jesus' wife. The Bible talks about the church as the bride of Christ, and she really was my first love. So when I was at work, I was thinking about work. When I was at home, I was thinking about work. Followed by my relationship with my kids. Now, I wasn't an absent dad, so I was physically around, and I wasn't emotionally absent. I tried to connect and be a nice guy with the boys as best as I could. But guys, I had absolutely no plan whatsoever to pass my faith to my own children at home. None. You know what my parenting strategy was? Teachable moments. You ever hear about dads? Raise your hand if you ever heard of teachable moments before. Yeah, okay. So teachable moments are if circumstances arrange themselves in such a way that an opportunity seems to present itself to talk to your kids about something meaningful, like it slaps you in the face, you take it. That was my whole strategy. Like, wait around until, oh, hey, well, maybe this would be a chance to say something important. Guys, that's not a strategy. You understand that? That's just reacting to what's going on around us. And then followed by my relationship with my wife, and then followed in a lot of ways by my relationship with God. And it was brutal for me to have to confess and have to admit that this was the true state of my life. And I had to repent of that to God. I had to repent of that to my wife. I had to repent of that to their kids, and to ask God to please turn my heart, God, toward my children. Turn my heart, God, toward my wife, so that I would understand. You see, one of the biggest mistakes that I made, if someone came up to me and said, hey, Rob, how's ministry going? I'd say, well, this is going on at church, and that's going on at church, or whatever. Nobody ever taught me what the Bible taught me, that ministry for a Christian man who's married or who has children starts in your home. That's ministry. When we love and serve and lead our wives, that's ministry. When we impress the hearts of our sons and we systematically disciple them in the faith and train them to serve, that's ministry. That's where it starts. But guys, here's what I would do. I lead the men's ministry at our church. So a guy would come up to me and he would tell me, well, Rob, I just lost my job this week. And I'd say, man, I'm so sorry to hear that. Why don't we go out to coffee? Let's go out to coffee. We'll talk about it. We'll pray together. So I go out to coffee with John or whatever. We sit and we talk about it. We read some scriptures. We encourage each other. We strike up a friendship. And I say, well, John, why don't we get together every couple weeks and do this? So we start meeting every couple weeks and we do that for a few months. Now, do you have to be a pastor to do that with somebody? I mean, that's just kind of basic Christian friendship, right? So I'm doing that with John. I'm doing that with Mike. I'm doing that with all these guys. When was the last time I spent an hour with my own son to see how he was doing spiritually, to encourage him, to flop open the Bible together and read it together, to spend time in prayer together? Men, do you see what I was doing? I was giving my heart and soul in ministry to all these other guys, all these other kids, all these other families, these spiritual opportunities, while I was neglecting my spiritual responsibilities. The souls that God had entrusted into my care. And I had some major, major league repenting to do. Now, I want to show you an amazing thing in the Bible. This is how the Old Testament ends. Dan, did you know that the New Testament begins with the exact same thing? Okay, Sunday school quiz. What's the very first event of the New Testament? If you were watching history, what's the very first thing that happens to let you know that, man, God is on the move, Messiah is coming? Yes. Valiant effort, but no.
John the Baptist.
Ah, now we're getting closer. Very good. Close, but no cigar. You're close. You're closer. Keep going. Not John the Baptist. John the Baptist's dad. What's his name? Zechariah. Who comes to Zechariah? An angel Gabriel. So the very first thing that happens, if you were just watching history, angel Gabriel comes to Zechariah, who's John the Baptist's father, and John the Baptist was in the tummy of Elizabeth, Zechariah's wife. You got it all? I know there's a lot of names we're throwing around. So the angel comes to Zechariah to tell him about John the Baptist and who John the Baptist is going to be. Look at what it says. It's amazing. Luke chapter 1. The angel says, many of the people of Israel will he bring back to the Lord their God. And he will go on before the Spirit of the Lord. I'm sorry. He will go on before the Lord in the spirit and the power of Elijah. And what's John the Baptist going to do? You say it. To turn the hearts of the fathers to their children. And the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Men, I want to be really direct with you on this point. There is no doubt in my mind that every single one of you want the hearts of your sons prepared for Christ. You would not be here on this retreat if that wasn't the case. And if that's what you want, then prepare their hearts the way the scriptures say to prepare their hearts, by turning your heart to them. When a father turns his heart to his son and says, son, I want to give you my heart. I want to do everything in my power to impress your heart with a love for God and help you get safely home to your Father in heaven. When a father does that, the heart of the son softens, turns back to his father, and is prepared then to receive faith in Christ. But guys, to do that, to understand that that's the main reason why you're here. To understand that that's the main reason why God gave you breath today, which is to help your sons, to help your daughters get safely home to their Father in heaven. It requires you to be a very countercultural guy. Because the message of success out there in the world that you get is totally different from that. The message that the world gives men today is go out there, get famous, get money, get successful, and try not to mess up your family too bad in the process. I'm going to show you a video. I had a friend over here who likes Lord of the Rings, and so he begged me to include this tonight. This is not from the movie itself, but it's from the making of the movie, like the DVD where they talk about how they made the movie. I want you to listen to these folks tell their story, okay? Take a look at this.
Once you started working on Lord of the Rings, you got sort of brought into the family, and it just became your home, it became your environment, it became your lifestyle. And you just accepted that, and anyone who didn't last on the film.
I don't think any of us have been involved with anything on this level, on this scale.
Left, right, left, right.
There is nothing that is daunting to me now, because I know nothing could ever be as intense as that experience.
If you talk to any one of us, we would all have horror stories of what it cost us personally.
There would be some fairly horrendous statistics out there to do with, you know, health and family breakups and girlfriends and boyfriends. It's a side of it that none of us choose to look at.
I missed my son growing up. In fact, when I left to come down here, he was 3 months old, you know, about the size of a cardboard box. And when I kind of came back for any decent stretch of the time, he's kind of 3.5, 4 years old. And it was kind of sad to have missed out on that fantastic kind of time.
It was kind of sad to have missed out on that fantastic kind of time. You watch this and you hear these guys talk about, yeah, I lost my marriage and yeah, I missed my kids growing up. That brunette gal, I think, speaks for millions of people. Remember what she said? It's a side of it that none of us choose to look at. Fathers and sons, this is a side of life that we have got to look at. And if you keep watching this documentary, you know what they say? They say, yeah, we lost our marriages. Yeah, we lost our families. Yeah, we broke our relationships with our kids. But look at the great movie we made. Look at the great soundtrack we mixed. Look at my name going up that screen. Folks, that's the picture of success out there in the world. And men, for you to have a multi-generational kingdom vision and mission for your life, it means that you are going to have to adopt a different vision for success. Now, sons, I want to spend a little bit of time talking to you. If you were to ask your dads, Dad, what are the most important things in your life? Your dads would say something like, well, my relationship with God and our family. They'd probably say, our family is the most important thing in my life. So, Dad, is our family more important than your job? Dads, what'd you say? Oh, absolutely, son. No doubt about it. Family much more important than your job. Well, if that's the case, and dads, would we agree with that? That family's more important mission in life than job? I think we would. Job is something that helps us maybe be successful with that first mission. If that's the case, dads, what are you doing right now to help your sons be successful with what's going to be their most important mission in life? Their future family? A lot of us as dads help our kids be successful with their future job by way of education and college and blah, blah, blah. But that's not going to be what's most important. A big wave is about to hit your son's life in about 10 years when they leave your house and get married and have their own kids. Now, anybody here ever tried to surf before? A couple of you? Now, guys, let's say, dads, that you wanted your sons to surf. I don't think that you would say, hey, here's your board, swim out there, we'll drop you off, and this is where we're going to practice, right? But you see, guys, and men, those of us that are here, we've had children, we know now that a gigantic, the most challenging wave we're ever going to face, which is this mission of our families, that it's coming. It's already hit us. Some of us have ridden it a while. We've gotten knocked down. We're back up. We're riding it a while. We're back up. We know what a huge deal it is. And you know what one of our most important kingdom mission responsibilities are as fathers? Is to help prepare our sons to be successful in the biggest wave and biggest challenge of their life, which is their future marriages. and their future parenting. Now, could it be that God might call some of you sons here to be single, not get married, not have children? Yeah, that's possible. It's very unlikely, but it's possible. God does that for some people. And God, the Bible doesn't pit, you know, being married or being single against each other. What we do know is that God calls the vast majority of people to marriage and to parenting. And so, men, if we want to have a multi-generational legacy and we want to do what God wants us to do as far as this kingdom vision of doing our part to bring the good news of Christ to the world for the advance of the gospel of the kingdom of Christ, one of the most vital things we've got to do is to talk to our sons about this future mission that God's going to give them, about being a future husband, about being a future parent. If all we're doing is talking to our kids about school and sports and college and money, that's child's play compared to the big mission that's coming up. Sons, there's a verse here that if there was one verse that I'd want you to take away from this weekend, this would be it. It's actually both for fathers and sons. But what I'm pleading with your dads to do is to do what it says in Malachi 4 and do what it says in Luke 1, is to come to you and for them to turn their heart to you, to make it the number one mission and ministry of their lives, to nurture faith in you, to help you grow in faith. And that's what the writer of Proverbs here is begging his son to do. He's saying, my son, give me your heart. I want to do everything in my power to help impress your heart with the love for God, to prepare you to be a man in this world, in this kingdom vision that God has created. Now, as Christians, we talk about giving your heart to Jesus. Raise your hand if you've ever heard anybody say, have you given your heart to Jesus before? All right, very common phrase. And what we mean by that is trusting in Jesus, putting your belief in Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And I'm not down on the phrase of give your heart to Jesus, but you do need to know that phrase isn't in the Bible. That's a phrase or a way of expressing faith that people have come up with, and I think it's fine. But there is someone in the Bible that God says we're supposed to give our hearts to. That's our dads. Sons are supposed to give their hearts to their dads. To say, Dad, I'm going to let you in. I'm going to tell you every fear I have. I'm going to tell you every joy I have. I'm going to tell you every question I have. I'm going to tell you about girls that I like. I'm going to tell you what I did with my friends on Friday night. I'm going to tell you the music that's on my iPod. I'm going to tell you where I go when I'm on the internet. I'm going to tell you everything, Dad, because I'm going to give you my heart. Anybody watch the Olympics this year? That was pretty fun, wasn't it? Anybody watch the U.S. relay team? Like the 4x100 and the 4x400 and stuff? I don't think we didn't get a gold, did we? We didn't get a gold in any of the relays, if my memory serves. I know they do a number of different ones. And I know for sure on two races, we lost for the exact same reason. Does anybody remember why we lost? What was it? Go ahead and stand up and tell them what happened. Yeah, that's right. There's four runners, right? And if you've ever run a relay race, the first guy's got to run, and he's got to put the baton in the hand of the second guy who's got to take it and run. And the third runner comes around the final turn, reaches forward to give it to the fourth runner. Fourth runner reaches back, grabs air as the third guy drops it or they fumble it together. And once that baton is dropped, there's absolutely no chance of winning. And I feel like that's what this verse is talking about, because God's got a kingdom purpose for the world, a multi-generational kingdom purpose. It's not just you and Jesus. It's you, your dad, your family, your siblings, your future children, your great-grandchildren, and Jesus. And it's your dad's job. Dads, it's our job to get the baton to our boys. That's a heavy burden and a heavy responsibility. What that means is we got to take our faith seriously. We got to be digging into the Word seriously, trying to be the men that God created us to be, so that we've got a baton to pass. You can't lead your kid in a direction you're not going in yourself, right? Doesn't mean you got to be perfect, because I'm certainly not. But what I'm so desperate for, and I've told my boys this over and over again in our home, and they've heard me say it at things like this. See, I want my boys to know Jesus more than I know him. I want them to love Jesus more than I love him. I want them to be better men than me. I don't want them to make some of these mistakes that I've made. I want them to be better husbands than I am to their mom. I want them to be better fathers than I am to them. Does that make sense? And guys, don't we want that? We want generational progress. And you know what, sons? God put that same desire in your heart too. Every son wants to be better than his dad. And God put it there. Now, Satan wants to twist it to make you compete against your dad and try to show him up, et cetera, et cetera. That's not what it's about. It's about taking the baton that your dad passes to you and taking your leg of it and running even faster than him for Christ and for his kingdom. And then passing it to your boys and girls who are going to pass it to their boys and girls. Can you see what God is trying to get at here? And you have to understand that for about the last 100 years of Christianity in the United States, parents and particularly fathers have been delegating the job of spiritually training their children to the church. So we drive to the church, we drop them off at Sunday school, we drop them off at youth group, and we say, you take care of it, I'll stay home and I'll be a nice guy. Instead of being our children's pastors, instead of being our children's trainers and spiritual mentors, the way the Bible calls us to be. And as a result, we've been losing more of our own children to the world than we've been winning adult converts to faith in Christ in the Church of the United States. And we've been doing it decade after decade for about 100 years. You keep doing that, you lose more than you win, you lose more than you win. Pretty soon you get Europe, spiritually speaking. Greatest Christian lands on planet Earth, now less than 1% Bible-believing Christian. Not because of a lack of evangelism. They lost their own children to the world. This kingdom mission begins with us. It begins with our hearts. And guys, you need to know, and I want to wrap up with this. You need to know that it is absolutely never too late to turn your hearts to your kids and sons, to turn your hearts back to your dads. I don't care. You may be here. Horrible things may have happened in your family. Horrible things may have happened in your relationship with God. Dad, some of you may be here and you may be like, man, I don't really do a whole lot of church stuff, or I don't even know what to do about this. I don't know where to start. Some of you guys in this room, you may have had so much anger and bitterness and hatred in your relationship up to this point. Frankly, I mean, not that I don't care. We talked about God's power tool to deal with that. You can forgive each other for that. And it is absolutely never too late for you and your dad, you and your son, to come together and to say, you know what? God has a kingdom, global, multi-generational purpose for this world, and we're going to be a part of it as father and son. And son, I'm going to turn my heart to you. Son, will you give me your heart? Yes, Dad, I will give you my heart, and we're going to do this together. Son, will you let me run this baton to you of faith? Will you take it? Yes, Dad, I'm going to do everything I can to take that baton of faith from you and run it forward into the next generation. Can you see how awesome a plan that God has for us? That's why your relationship as father and son is so important, because the gospel of the kingdom of Christ as it advances around the world is built on this vision of multi-generational faithfulness. As fathers pass their faith to their sons, as sons rise up to lead the churches and lead the homes of the next generation. I'd like you all to bow your heads. I'd like you all to close your eyes. Dads, if you're here in this vision that we talked about tonight, this multi-generational kingdom vision, with you launching it, with you turning your heart to your son, if that's what you want, then tell God that right now in prayer. Just tell God that right now in prayer. Say, God, I want to be a part of your multi-generational kingdom vision for the world. I want to turn my heart to my son. If you're married, I want to turn my heart to my wife. If you have daughters, I want to turn my heart to my daughters. And I want you to use me to impress their hearts with a love for God. I want you to help me get my children safely home to you. Now, you sons, if you're here tonight and God has spoken to you through his word, and God has told you that you need to turn your heart to your father, that you need to take the baton from him, that you need to get serious about preparing for your kingdom mission in the world, preparing to be a husband someday, preparing to be a father someday, and giving your heart to your dad, letting him into everything in your life, then I want you to tell God that. Say, God, I want to give my heart to my father. My father's here on this retreat. He wants to turn his heart to me. I want to turn my heart back to him. Help me, God, to take the baton of faith in Jesus Christ that my father is trying to pass to me. Help me take that baton for myself so that I can run this race forward, so that I can take faith to my father's grandchildren and my father's great-grandchildren for the advance of the gospel of the kingdom of Christ. Now, guys, in the quietness of this moment, many of you, most of you fathers and sons, are sitting together. If you're not sitting together, I need you to stand up and move to a place where you can be. Okay? I want fathers and sons together. This is just going to take a few minutes, even less than that. Sons, if you're near your dads, dads, if you're near your sons. What I'd like you to do is I'd like you to just give each other about 1 minute of your time right now. And if you made the decision tonight, fathers, if you prayed and you said, God, I want to turn my heart to my children. I want to turn my heart to my son to prepare and be a godly man. Then fathers, you need to tell your son that. Say, son, I've decided to try. My heart is with you. Dads, you can take an opportunity to do that right now. Do it. If it's not true, then don't say it. You'll have an awkward moment. If it is true, tell your son that. Now, dads, I want you to ask your son the question from Proverbs chapter 23. And sons, you have a choice of what you're going to answer. Sons, you have to tell the truth. I'm not up here forcing anybody to do anything. This is all what you choose to do. Fathers, you ask your sons the question, son, will you give me your heart? And sons, you can choose how you want to answer that question. Heavenly Father, I pray for every single one of the fathers and the sons in this room. I pray for myself and for my dear sons. God, we're not here by accident. And the relationship that you created for us, you chose each and every one of us to be in this relationship together. You chose the fathers here to have the sons. You chose the sons here to have the fathers. And God, you did it for a purpose. You did it for a purpose. You did it not just so that we'd get along and have a nice life and do stuff together. You chose it for kingdom, global, great commission, spiritual purposes. Because you created the church and you created the home and you've called men, godly, loving, humble men, to take the lead. And that's why you call the hearts of fathers and the hearts of sons together so that we might pass the baton for the advance of the gospel of the kingdom of Christ to the remote parts of the earth, even if we should be but stepping stones to others in the performance of this great work for your glory. God, as we go forward and we work on this task of giving our hearts together, God, bless us. Bless us, because we need you for this. And we pray this in Christ's name.